Welcome to The Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today on The Daily Platform, we'll hear a sermon preached in Ministry Chapel, which is a service specifically for students who are studying for the ministry. Today's speaker is the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Steve Pettit. For over 29 years, Steve was an evangelist, traveling across the country, preaching and teaching in evangelistic services and camp ministries. Today, Steve will give a challenge on compassion, and his scripture is Mark 4:1-4.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read the passage of scripture here in just a moment. I want to begin with an illustration that's sort of been used, but I kind of like to take it a little further. Many of you are well aware of the death of Matt Clemens. This past December, actually December 17th, Matt was a student here at Bob Jones, graduated in 2015. He married Carol Ann Matthews, who was actually student body president just a couple of years ago. And the way I found out was I had gone to church that Sunday morning. I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and I got out in my truck after church and took my phone to look at text messages. And I'd gotten a text message from Aaron Coffey, and he wrote these words. He said, "Can you please pray? Matt Clemens just died in a car accident. Please pray for Carol Ann. She and Asa are fine." That's the little boy. They were not with him. "She is lost and overwhelmed." It was one of those, you know how you read something and you can hardly believe that it's true, and it's just weird, and it just doesn't make any sense. And so I told my wife and got in the truck and started down the highway, and I immediately called Aaron. And so for the next, I'm going to say 2 hours, we began to, at least the way I, just the way my brain works, I said, "Aaron, we have to do something for Carol Ann now. We don't have time." I said, I'm going to make some statements that are going to sound very hard. I don't mean to be hard, but I just know how this works. I said, "We need to raise money for her." And I said, "Matt didn't have life insurance." And, you know, it's easy to blame Matt for not having life insurance, but when you're 24, you're just not thinking about dying right now. There were some other circumstances. Well, a short story is that I said, "Let's set a goal, ask the parents, what does she need?" And the goal was set for $125,000. And thankfully, over the last couple of months, that money has been raised. Now, the reason I tell you that is that the moment you hear the story and you start thinking about Carol Ann and her son, you start feeling something. That's what I want to talk about this morning, that feeling you have. Because it's the feeling that we see here in the life of Christ, and it's also the emotion that is absolutely effective for real Christian service. And what is that? Well, let's read the text this morning. Chapter 1, verse 40, and it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had departed, immediately the leprosy departed from him." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. "And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." As you read this story, it was very clear that when Jesus saw this man with leprosy, he immediately responded to heal him. But what is it that moved him? The Bible says he was moved with compassion. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And that is that compassion is the compelling attribute that is foundational for any kind of ministry. If we're going to talk about the high calling of serving, we have to talk about the high calling of compassion. Because Christ was moved in his heart in such a way that it moved him to action. So let's talk about compassion. And I want to begin, first of all, with understanding really what compassion is all about. What is the root of compassion? Where does it come from? It's very interesting that the word that we find here that Mark uses in the Greek language is referring to an element where the Greeks believed that the seat of the emotions, of the human emotions, were actually in your stomach. So when we say something is just really hard, we call it gut-wrenching. Or you understand when you get nervous, you get butterflies in your stomach. Or I used to say to my wife as romantically as I can, sweetheart, I love you with all my guts. So you understand that sense. The word has the idea of deep affection, it's deep emotion. Compassion means this. It means that you feel your way into someone else's needs. You feel your way into their needs. When I became a youth pastor up in Michigan, I wasn't overly excited about working with teenagers. Just simply because teenagers to me, especially growing up in Christian homes, never seemed to be overly sincere about spiritual things, not very deep. And so I started working with the young people, but I decided to every Saturday go out and visit all the teenagers that were in my youth group and go out to their homes. I didn't go to all their homes in a Saturday, but over a period of a semester, I would go into at least everybody's home at least once and hang out for an hour and do whatever, hang out with the teenagers. And I suddenly began to change my viewpoint, because when I would go into their homes and begin to get an idea of what their family was like, when I would see them at church on Sunday morning, my whole attitude was different. In some cases, for them to even be there in church was almost like a miracle. And for them to be actually wanting to grow spiritually was such an evident sign of God's grace. And I think what happened is I began to have compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is when you see people's needs, especially their suffering. And when you see that, you actually begin to share in their feelings, their emotions, their emotional pain. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, over and over it talked about his compassion. For example, do you remember when the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34, that when Jesus saw the people, he saw them as sheep without what? Without shepherds. And it says that he was moved with compassion. So he didn't see them as dumb, stupid sheep. Sometimes in ministry, you can feel that way about people. You can feel, you know, a certain way towards them, and yet Christ was moved with compassion. Or when Jesus attended the funeral of a woman who had a son, and this was her only son, she was a widow, and he was being carried out to be buried. She lived in a little village called Nain, the widow of Nain. The Bible says in Luke 7 that the Lord saw her and he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And what did he do? He healed the woman. Or the stories that Jesus talked about, like the Good Samaritan. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. The man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, got beat up, was left for dead. And Jesus tells a story about a priest and a Levite, both religious people, who came walking by, saw him lame on the ground. And what did they do? They walked around him, didn't stop. And of course, there's an irony in there. There's sort of a mockery. How easy it is to be religious, but not compassionate. And then a Samaritan comes. And who is a Samaritan? A Samaritan was not a pure Jew. He was a half-breed. He was a mixture of a Jew and a Gentile. And so he was a mixed race. And this Samaritan had compassion, and he stopped and he helped the man. Of course, you know what happened. He took him to the inn, and there they bound up his wounds and he paid for him and all the needs to be met. And the point is that he did what he did out of compassion. And Jesus, of course, honored what that man did. So we see this over and over. And then, of course, you know the story of the prodigal son who went away from his father. But when he came back, his father saw him afar off. And the Bible says that he had compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. So over and over, we see this emotion in the Bible. And it compels God's people to sacrificially serve other people. So I say that to you this morning, because in order to serve God, we have to be moved with compassion. Jesus saw people's sufferings, and he entered into their emotions. So let's take this man that came to Jesus. What does the Bible say about him? It says that he was a leper. And of course, as soon as Jesus saw him, he began to feel compassion. Why? Because he had an understanding of leprosy. He understood, first of all, that it was a very serious disease. It was a major physical problem. The problem with leprosy is that the appendages in your body begin to lose their sense of pain. They don't feel pain. And so things like your toes and your fingers, your nose, even your eyes, through repeated injuries and infection, soon those parts begin to actually wear away. We don't see a lot of lepers here. The first time I came in contact with leprosy, I was in the city of Bangalore, India. And I was going from the hotel I was in to the Bible college, and I was riding in an Alto rickshaw. An Alto rickshaw is a three-wheeled little Jeep that a guy drives, and you sit in the back seat, and the back seat is big enough for, you know, two Americans or seven Indians, however you want to look at it. And as I was sitting at the stoplight, this hand comes inside the Alto rickshaw, and it's wrapped up in bandages, and you could see parts of the fingers missing. And it was a leper that was asking, begging for money. Now, I didn't really have compassion on the man immediately, because I was actually like, you know, get away from me. I remember being in Africa, and we stopped at a little village where we went into the home of a pastor, and a man came in, and I noticed that a part of his nose was missing. At first, I didn't know what it was, and then it began to dawn on me, this guy must be a leper. And suddenly, you're seeing this, and it's sickening, to be honest with you. And yet, when Jesus saw the man, he was able to enter into the man's emotions, his feelings. He understood his physical suffering. But he also understood that leprosy was a social problem. He understood the social issue that he was experiencing. Even in the Bible, Leviticus chapter 13 tells us, even in the law of God, what a leper is supposed to do. Listen to what it says. It says that a leper is to wear his clothes torn. He's not to comb his hair. He's to let his hair hang down. And when he goes out into the community, he's to cover his mouth and cry out unclean. And the idea of the law is that he was to make his appearance as repulsive as possible so people would avoid him. And you couldn't come within 150 feet of a leper. He was to live alone. He was to dwell outside the camp. He could not ever touch anybody. He lived a life of isolation. Josephus said that the leper was treated as if he were, in effect, he was somebody who was dead. You could call him the original Walking Dead. And when Jesus saw the man, he understood that this man was an outcast. He was rejected. And everybody in this room understands what it's like to feel rejected, okay? You got that. You've experienced that. You know, you can't be at Bob Jones and not feel rejected by at least somebody. Come on. But this man was rejected by everyone, and it sensed like he was being rejected by God. And then it was also a spiritual problem. Because if a man was Jewish and he was a leper, it meant that he was unclean. Because when you read this passage of Scripture, it doesn't talk about Jesus healing the man. It talks about Jesus cleansing the man. There's a big difference. Because other times Jesus will heal people, but it never talks about cleansing. And to be a leper was probably the major symbol of sin and the need of cleansing. And so this man was a social outcast. He was a spiritual outcast. He was physically suffering. And when Christ saw this man, he was moved with compassion. Compassion sees the sufferings of others, and they're able to enter into their feelings, into their emotions. And if you're going to have ministry, it's not about doing stuff. It's not about just organizing things. It's not even about standing up and preaching. It's about having a certain sense of compassion towards people. I remember very clearly when my wife was first diagnosed with cancer and how we would go into churches and people would find out that my wife had cancer, and suddenly all kinds of opportunities to minister opened up because people that had cancer came to my wife. You know why? Because they felt like my wife would understand them. Nobody came to me. They came to my wife. And what we don't always realize is that sometimes the greatest ministries that we have are not through the things that we do, it's through the things we suffer. And suddenly people begin to sense that you really care and feel for the needs of other people. Jesus was moved with compassion. I heard the story of a well-known pastor who had a tremendous ministry in reaching people. Somebody asked him what was the secret of his ministry, and he pointed to the corner of his eye and he said, "It's the moist spot in the corner of my eye." It's that compassion. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you have compassion this morning, because all of you have compassion to a degree. I'm just simply trying to urge all of us to recognize the need for the expansion of compassion in our hearts. That's what compassion's all about. But there's something else I want you to notice, and that is not only the root of compassion, but the riskiness of compassion. A compassion ministry is risky business because the compassion that Jesus showed was actually a problem. First of all, it was a problem with the leper because the leper came to Jesus and he wanted Jesus to heal him. He came right up to him. And for him to do that was actually socially unacceptable. Even God told him not to do this. It was highly provocative. But not only for the leper to come to Jesus was a problem, but it was a real problem for Jesus to touch the leper. You see, in Bible days, if you touched a leper, you would be unclean. And if Jesus being an Orthodox Jew, if an Orthodox Jew saw a leper coming to him, would he naturally do? He would naturally go the opposite direction. So to hang with a leper is risky business for a Jew. And yet the Bible says that Jesus did not turn away from the leper, but he turned to the leper and he touched him. And when he, Jesus, who is clean, touched the man who was unclean, what did he do? He made the unclean clean. Jesus's compassion changed this man's life. Let me tell you something, compassion is powerful. Because when people have compassion on other people, they are in effect having a life-changing ministry. Compassion ministries touch the untouchable. They reach out to the untouchables with God's love. Compassion ministries reach those who are at risk. Let me just say it this way. Compassion ministries are reaching people that nobody wants to touch. Compassion ministries embrace the contemptible elements of society. This was a leper. Compassion ministries embrace the very things that people normally despise and reject. And that's why compassion ministries get pushback in churches, because people don't want to touch the unclean. Someone said the touch of Jesus, though, spoke more loudly than his words, and the words of Jesus touched the leper more deeply than any act of human love. When I began in the ministry back in 1980, most of the churches that I was associated with, almost every church had a compassion ministry. Do you know what that compassion ministry was? It was a bus ministry. You know why? Because you were going into predominantly unreached, unsaved homes, and you were bringing children and teenagers to church. And it was a total at-risk ministry because all these homes had problems. And it was very hard work. The summer of 1978, I worked as an intern at my home church in Denver, Colorado. My pastor was Dr. Ed Nelson, and so he invited me to come and work, and I was all excited about the summer. But there was one thing I didn't want to do. I didn't want to work in the bus ministry. Camp ministry, yes. Preaching ministry, yes. House-to-house visitation, yes. Bus ministry, no. I didn't want to work with snotty-nosed kids. Well, I had to have a place to live, and so I ended up living my first month with the bus pastor. And he was like a bus fanatic. He honestly believed the Apostle Paul ran buses in Corinth. Picked up kids and brought them to church. And he used to bug me. He tried to shame me into the bus ministry. And I looked at him, I said, "You're not gonna shame me in anything, dude." I said, "It's not the way I operate, okay?" And one night after church, and I remember it very clearly, Dr. Nelson came down out of the pulpit, walked straight up to me for some weird reason and said, "Steve, I want you to be in the bus ministry." I went, "Sir, yes, sir." And the next month, as I was working in the bus ministry, every Saturday I'd go out and I hated it. I hated it. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. Sunday mornings, I had to be at church early. I had to go out 2 hours before Sunday school started. I had to pick up kids. Half the kids said they were going to come, didn't come. I'd get to church. I'd get off the bus. First thing the bus pastor would say is, "How many did you have on your bus?" My answer was, "None of your business." Then I'd get on the bus afterwards and have to take all these kids back home. I wouldn't get back to church until 2:30 in the afternoon. Wouldn't even be able to eat lunch until 2:30. And it really ticked me off to see all these nice little Christian kids and families with all their sweet little dresses on and their nice little coats and ties that they sit there in church and they do their little thing in church and then they get out after church. I wasn't bitter. And then they would get out after church and they would get in their nice little car and they would go sit in the restaurant and feed their fat guts. And then I had to go and serve. I had to go and serve people. I'm just telling you, that's how I think. Okay, it's the way I really thought. I was obviously irritated, and I was about a month into this, taking kids home one Sunday, feeling sorry for myself. And it's almost like God didn't speak audibly, obviously, but He did speak to my heart. It's almost like, "Steve, don't you get it? Don't you understand?" I was sitting on the front seat, two little girls sitting next to me, one little girl sitting on my lap. And it's almost like the Lord said, "Don't you understand that the only love that these girls may ever experience in their life is you?" And I felt so convicted over my selfishness. And I begged God to forgive me. And I said, "Lord, I don't have love for these children and I don't have compassion, but you do. And Lord, I pray that your compassion would live through me." You see, I don't have it in me. That's obvious. But I know, Lord, you have compassion. And I know I'm connected to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, can you work compassion in me? I started working with children. You know that I worked in children's ministry for the next 20 years? Compassion. It's what makes the difference. But it's risky. So I want to ask you a question. Are you in a compassion ministry? You know, if it used to be churches had those kind of ministries and then that we stopped doing it. And what happened was we stopped having compassion in a lot of places. The problem is when you stop a compassion ministry, you also lose the opportunity to see lepers get cleansed. You know, there's nothing cooler than seeing a leper get healed. And in order for us to be effective, we need to have compassion. And that leads me to the last point, and I'll just be very quick on this. And that is, what was the result of Jesus healing this man? And just very quickly, the book of Mark, when you study the book of Mark, it's not like reading Matthew and Luke that's written in chronological order of the life of Christ. It's actually not written like that. It actually begins with Jesus being baptized. So all about his birth, his virgin birth, all that, you don't read of that in the book of Mark. So Mark wrote with a different purpose. He actually was writing like a long gospel tract, and he had a message he wanted to communicate. He wanted to communicate that Jesus was God's son, but he also wanted to communicate something else, that Jesus was the suffering servant of the Old Testament read in the book of Isaiah, especially chapter 53. You remember where it says he was wounded for our transgressions? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. Isaiah talked about healing. And this servant would come and he would suffer so that others could be healed. And so the book of Mark was written from the perspective of the suffering servant. And not only that, but it was also written to be a manual for discipleship, because the disciples learned discipleship not by sitting in a class, but watching Jesus. Because they lived with him. And by living with him, God worked in their life and changed them. So it took them a while to change. And in Mark chapter 1, what do we find? We find the disciples are there with Jesus and they watched. And they watched Jesus touch this man and heal this man, and suddenly the leper was made clean. And what did Jesus tell the leper to do? He said, "Go to the priest," and he said, "Go through the process of cleansing." But what did the man do? It went out. He was so fired up. He went out and began to tell everybody what happened. And suddenly something happened. And that is, Jesus could no longer go to the crowds because there was a problem with that, because they wanted to make him the Messiah and he didn't want that. And so Jesus ended up being sort of on the outside. And there's an irony to the story. That is that this man that was a leper was an outsider and Jesus was the insider. But when Jesus healed him, the outsider became the insider, and Jesus on the inside went to the outside. And I believe that there is a message here that Jesus was trying to show his disciples. And that is, those who truly serve Christ will end up being like Jesus. Because this is telegraphing the ultimate effect of Christ's life, and that is that Jesus came into the world to give his life a ransom for many, to die on a cross. I believe this was a telegraph to the cross. Because Jesus would ultimately go to the cross and die on the cross so that all of us who are spiritual lepers could be healed. And he's teaching his servants a lesson. And that is, those who have effective ministry of compassion are people who are willing to suffer and to give of themselves. Because I'm going to tell you something. Real ministry is actually dying to yourself, showing compassion, showing care. But that's the kind of ministry where you see lepers healed. May the Lord help us to have compassion. Would you bow your head with me, please? How many of you would say this morning, please pray for me. God has spoken to my heart about my need for more compassion. Pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand, slip it up all over the building? Praise the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. Lord, give us compassion. And Lord, help us to be unselfish. We're so selfish, and that's why we don't have compassion. We think of ourselves. And Lord, help us to learn to be like you, who are able to see people in their needs. And from seeing their needs, we enter into their emotional pain. And we suffer with them. And we have compassion. And we make a difference. Help us to make a difference, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. We hope you'll join us next week at this same time when we'll study God's Word together on The Daily Platform.